All right, real quick, can I get a show of hands? How many people like have heard of or are aware of or know what Epiphany is? Is this one? All right, we got a good number. Okay, I'm doing something maybe right. Epiphany is one of these kind of, at least in my experience, seems to be one of these kind of lost holidays in the church. You know, we've just had Christmas and New Year's. It's been this big, really eventful, often very stressful time. And we kind of get to the other side of that, and there's this season of Epiphany, the season of a green growing season, as the godly play stories tell it, between Christmas and our Lenten season when we prepare for Easter and for Good Friday. And what Epiphany is our feast of lights. It's our holiday when we celebrate the light of Christ coming to the world. And what that means is to everyone. And growing up in the Christian church, we might take it for granted the idea that Christ came and that God's love is for everyone. Because that is not the way it was necessarily understood early on. In fact, some of the earliest and most heated arguments and fights within the church, some of the most compelling and difficult stories that we hear in the book of Acts that talk about the time after Jesus' death, are about how much the apostles and disciples fought over whether or not anyone that isn't Jewish could be a part of the promise that Jesus offered, part of the resurrection and the new life and the light that Jesus offered. And ultimately, after a lot of deliberation, a lot of prayer, a lot of the working of the Holy Spirit, the church ultimately decided that this really was for everyone and that you didn't need to become Jewish first in order to be received into the kingdom of God, in order to be received into as a child of God. And that's obviously important for most of us, because considering most of us do not have a Jewish heritage. And so this is our good news, right? This is the extension of the good news to us. This is one of the most important holidays and seasons for us in our tradition, because it's the great welcome of God to everyone. And welcome, I think, is a very important thing for us in the church. And we talk a lot about it, right? Like, even our sign, I think, says we warmly welcome all. That's kind of like the motto or the slogan that we took on once I got here a number of years ago. And if you go down the street, you'll see lots of churches talking about welcoming you and talking about it being a warm place for you to come. But churches can often be anything but a welcoming place. I think one of the greatest advantages, honestly, that we have here at St. David's as far as welcoming new people into our church is that if this is your first week at St. David's, you're probably sitting within 20 feet of someone who hasn't been here more than 6 months. And so there are other people that have been around for a short amount of time that know what it feels like to walk into a strange church they've never been to or they haven't been to in a long time and see a bunch of people they don't know and to go and worship in a very exposed way with a number of other people. I think when we get comfortable and used to this practice of church, when we get comfortable and used to our church, it's really easy to forget how intimidating it can be to walk into this building. I like to talk, like, when I go on vacation and go to another church on a Sunday, if I'm away over a Sunday, it's intimidating for me, and I'm a priest in the Episcopal Church. So, like, if this is something that doesn't just come naturally to you, it's okay. It is totally normal. And part of the trouble is that, for the most part, churches, like many other organizations and groups, tend to be more cliquish than communal. And this is actually ties in a lot with what I was doing this summer. So for those who aren't aware, I was on sabbatical this summer. So I had the summer off, and I had got a grant from the Lilly Endowment in order to go and visit a number of communities, you know, kind of self-described communities of people, secular communities that had nothing to do with the church, and see what it was that drew people to them, see what people were looking for in those spaces, and to see what the church has to offer those spaces and what those spaces have to offer the church. That's what I went out to do this summer. And I did it predominantly with a community of people called Burners that are associated with Burning Man. out in Nevada that happens once a year, because that's part of my community of people, right? And it's a community that I'm a part of, at least here in the southwestern Pennsylvania area and the kind of DC Baltimore area. And I wanted to figure out what it was that was drawing people in, what people were finding there, and why it was that they needed this space. And if you were here for my presentation back on Stewardship Sunday, one of the things I realized over the summer is that I don't know if I would call most of these groups communal. Because even though radical welcome is one of the fundamental principles of the Burning Man community, even though radical self-expression is one of the principles, there is very clearly a certain limit or certain bounds by which you are expected to express yourself. And if you don't see in quite the same way, if you don't have a fairly socially progressive outlook, it can be a fairly uncomfortable place, I think, for some people. The challenge I kind of gave is if I went into that community, or someone went into that community, like wearing a Make America Great Again hat, would they be accepted there? Would that be acceptable, right? Because this is a very progressive, very liberal community. And I'm not sure if they would. I don't know how that would be received. And I think about the church, and one of the troubles that we often have in the church is that we want to be welcoming. Our desire and interest is to be welcoming. We proclaim that we're welcoming. But actually welcoming the stranger is a very difficult thing. We are all very good, and I think we are genetically and evolutionarily designed to welcome people that look and feel and sound like us, right? That there is safety and comfort in that. Homogeneity is very comforting. It feels very safe. But it's not what the scriptures call us into. It's not what Jesus came into this world for. I believe Jesus specifically came into this world to help us to better be able to see and love the other. The other that is more different from us than we'd like, but who is actually more similar to us than we'd like to admit. My hope for us in this place is that we continue to grow and to live into what it means to be a truly welcoming place. And not just that people feel okay and comfortable the first Sunday they come here or the second Sunday they come here, but that anyone who walks through this door would very quickly understand and learn that this is a place where they can come and be accepted and loved as they are. And while that might seem like a simple thing, I think this is a radical notion for churches and communities around the world, at least around the country. We're more divided politically and religiously than ever before. Things are more cliquish. Things are more, we have circled the wagons more as a culture than we have ever have before. And I think the message of the gospel and of who we are as children of God speaks directly in contrast and directly in opposition to that mentality and to that instinct that we have to kind of huddle up and look after our own. I think the message of the gospel, the message of Epiphany, of the fact that these strange wise men from the East came and knew that this promise was for them as well. That it wasn't just for the people of Israel, it was for everyone. And that what God and Christ came to do is to welcome us all in. I think more and more there are fewer and fewer places where we can go and truly feel comfortable and truly feel like we belong. And in my experience, there is always a feeling out period when we get into a new group or community of how well do I fit in here? Does that make sense? Has anyone ever kind of felt that, with a new friend group? If anyone here is a transplant, has moved here from somewhere other than Pittsburgh, and doesn't have family here, you probably know what I'm talking about. This is a hard city to break into if you did not grow up here. And I think Pittsburghers don't always realize that. Pittsburghers, we see our city as very warm and welcoming, and we're very friendly and homey and community-oriented. But if you are not from here, it is hard to break in. And not because we don't want people from, maybe some of us don't want people from the outside, but I don't think the reason it feels that way is because we don't want people here. It's because so many of us have family and friends here and have been here all our lives that we're just comfortable. It's like we've been going to church for 40 years And that's what we know, and we're comfortable with it, and we don't get how hard it is for someone new to come into that, how intimidating it can be. And so what I think this is about, what we want to offer and invite people into in this place, is a space where they don't need to worry if they fit in. That is my hope, and that is what I hope to offer to everyone here, whether this is your first week or if you've been here your whole life. I want St. David's, and I hope St. David's can be a place and continue to grow into being a place where whoever walks in here never has to worry about fitting in. If you don't feel like you fit in here, that is okay. We probably have a whole lot to learn from you. I hope that you have not been discouraged in coming because if this doesn't feel like a place that is entirely warm and welcome to you yet. I hope you have had a warm welcome when you've gotten here, when you visited from the first week and ever since. I hope people have come up to you and welcomed you and welcomed you in a way that is not too oppressive or scary. I hope that you'll see at the peace if you haven't been here before. But at the same time, if you've come in here and you want to just remain anonymous and just have a place to go and to be like left alone, I hope you've been able to find that too. I hope whatever you need from this space, you have been able to find. And I know a lot of you have, because a lot of you keep coming back. And I still don't know exactly why all the time. But I'm really glad you do. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, my partner Joe and I were just talking about how happy I am to be here and how much I really love this church and how many of these things that I talk about from the pulpit really do seem to be happening and alive and thriving here in a way that I don't see in a lot of other places. And I'm so excited to be able to be a part of it and to be at a church where, like, we just don't have any cranky, difficult people, which is awesome, like, and unheard of, you know? Like, we have, like, some wonderful people here, and I love each and every one of you that I've had the chance to get to know a little bit. And for those of you I've gotten to know a lot, I've just been overjoyed to be a part of this thing, this experiment, this church that we're doing, this community that we're building. And I want us to never forget that that's what we're doing. And when I talk about community, I don't mean that we're all best friends. There's like 100 people in this room. You don't all have to be a best friend. You don't even all have to know each other's names, though I encourage you to learn each other's names if you know, when you meet. And I encourage you, if you forget someone's name, just to say, "I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Could you tell it to me again?" I have to do that all the time, especially now that the church has gotten as large as it has. I often have to ask a number of times before it kind of sticks for whatever reason. So I want us to be familiar and comfortable with each other, but I also just want people to know that wherever you are on a given morning, if you roll on a bed and you don't even have the energy to change out your pajamas, but you feel like this is where you want to be in the morning, please come. If you are just feeling really down and out and struggling and you're able to make it here, I hope you can come here and not feel like you have to have it all together. Like you've got to look your best, your Sunday best. Oh man, that's a phrase. You want to talk about a phrase that really gets me worked up, your Sunday best. I'm looking for your Sunday worst. Like, don't compete for it, right? But know that you're okay here. Know that you are loved here. Know that what this table is about reminding each and every one of us that no matter where we are and who we are loved and cherished by our God. We are the beloved of God, capital B. We are children of God, and there is nothing that can change that. That is what Christ came into the world for. That is what the wise men, the kings, were coming to celebrate and to pay homage to. This light that had come into the world and offered us grace and peace and love, that offered us a home, spiritually and physically, a place to belong. You belong here. And I don't have the authority to tell you that you don't belong here. I need to make sure, and the leadership of this church needs to make sure, the people that are here are safe. And so sometimes we have to make difficult decisions around that. And so we are committed to making sure and taking the steps that we need to make sure this is a safe place. But beyond that, this is a place where you are welcome and you will belong if you want to be a part of it. What makes a Christian is us desiring to be a part of the family of God. Us saying yes to God, yes to Christ. That's what makes us a Christian. I don't have the authority. I don't have the foresight, or not the foresight, but like I don't have the perspective to look at any one of you And because of something I see or don't see you doing can decide if you are or are not a Christian. We love doing that in the church, right? Oh, that person's a bad Christian. Oh, they're not doing the right things. You know, they really need to read their Bible more. Or, you know, we're not that kind of Christian. I mean, like, these are phrases I have heard many, many times. These are phrases I have uttered in my life. There is no kind of Christian. There are simply followers of Jesus who have been given the gift of love and of life, of grace and of peace, that have been invited into the kingdom of God and are sent out into the world to share that, to invite people into places like this where they can belong, no matter who they are, what they look like, what they sound like, what their political or social beliefs are, that this is a place for them and for you. So welcome. I hope you have found welcome here. I hope you have found a place to thrive here. And I hope that being here on Sunday mornings and whenever you are here throughout the week edifies you and strengthens you for the work of living our lives to the fullness of what God has called us into. Because it is difficult, in my experience, to do that. And I know I need support, which is a big part of why I'm a part of this. And as we gather together to support and care for one another, may we grow together. May we live into community. And may we create a space where all can belong and be a part of it. And we'll let the belief be the Holy Spirit's job. So welcome. It's a pleasure and honor to worship with you this day and always. Amen.